The basic definition of hope in Webster's dictionary is as follows. A feeling that what is wanted will happen. Desire accompanied by expectation. Well, most of us get that with any number of current examples. We hope the stay-at-home restrictions will end soon. We hope some portion of this year's baseball season will be salvaged. In the meantime, we hope they air our favorite shows on TV. I gotta say, this has been a very strange week for me personally. On Friday, I was able to go through with the closing on my new house. As always, there was a bit of scrambling and last-minute adjustments, but all papers got signed and everything finalized. I had hoped that would be the case, and so it happened. On Wednesday, I received the official word from the bishop that the current suspension of in-person gatherings was being extended through June 14th. These are difficult decisions being made by prayerful people as best as they can. This means the plans already being made for June 7th as my last Sunday at St. Paul's are being derailed, as well as having time together during the weeks leading up to that date. This is not what I had hoped my final weeks at St. Paul's would be like. Well, in the midst of these strange times, I keep reminding myself that the challenges we face are not just about us. The whole world is having to deal with the coronavirus pandemic. The significance of that realization drawing me to search for hope beyond my personal desires. In these times, it is especially apparent that we all need a hope that is bigger and better than that. Well, this morning we are continuing our Easter season series, The Hope We Have in Christ, as we work our way through the first letter of the Apostle Peter. Last week we heard about our living hope, the source being God Himself and what He has done through Christ. The substance being the imperishable inheritance we receive in Christ as God's redeemed children. The testing of our hope through all kinds of challenges which God will use to shape and strengthen us as His people. Well, today, Peter goes on to encourage those who are redeemed by Christ to live as the redeemed. In doing so, he emphasizes our confident hope in a way that helps us respond to that calling. In the first part of today's lesson, verses 17 through 21, Peter identifies the basis for our confident hope in Christ. To begin with, we are mindful that we serve God whom we know as our Father. Verse 17, and if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay upon earth. Lest we misunderstand the point, let me quickly mention a couple things here. No question, God has made it clear that He will judge the world, including each person's life lived here and now. Irrespective of one's earthly status or notoriety or appearance, God will pronounce ultimate judgment on our standing and response in relationship to Himself. To conduct ourselves in fear, however, is not the same as saying we are walking around always looking out over our shoulder, afraid that we're about to get a divine smackdown. I appreciate how Alan Stibbs has commented on this. He wrote, this fear is a healthy and holy reverence for God, which is the condition of all true understanding of life, and which itself constrains men to delight in God's ways and to depart from evil. Peter reinforces our confidence by pointing out that the God who is our Father is the one who has provided for our redemption. Continuing in verse 18, Peter wrote, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you who through him are believers in God, and raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. I hope you did not just yawn. These verses are loaded with significance. The sovereign God of the universe, our Father, has acted in these remarkable ways to secure our redemption in Christ. Through the blood of Christ, the unblemished, spotless Lamb of God, underscoring the doctrine of the atonement. Something he determined to do from before the foundation of the world, reminding us of God's transcendence. Sending his Son into the world for that purpose, which draws our attention to the incarnation. After Jesus died on the cross, God raised him from the dead, reminding us of the resurrection. And then God gave Christ glory, which is highlighted by that event of his ascension. What Peter is saying is that we have confident hope because our faith and hope are in God. Edwin Blum puts this all together, writing, God is Father, and as his children, we call on him in prayer. God is judge, and so we do not get to redefine holiness just because we are his children. Therefore, as Christians, we live in reverential awe of God, yet not in terror, for peace is one of the gifts we receive in Christ. Well, as Peter ties this to our daily lives in verses 22 through 25, he helps us understand the fruit of our confident hope. Given our confident hope in Christ, we seek to learn and obey God's truth for how we live, recognizing and submitting to the living and abiding Word of God, knowing it to be imperishable truth, which remains so across generations and cultures. Peter quotes here from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord abides forever. These days of dealing with the coronavirus pandemic have reminded us of how many things are perishable and temporary. The protective gloves and masks used by medical providers are disposable. Many grocery store shelves are empty. I saw a blurb in the news about how, in some cases, the government-issued relief checks hoped for are being seized by creditors. The financial solvency of so many businesses has shown itself temporary, with the devastating consequence of jobs being lost. Even more significantly, the frailty of human life has been seen in the number of people who have died. In contrast, as I mentioned last week, our inheritance in Christ is made up of the imperishable and eternal treasures of heaven, the depth and significance of which we have only a glimpse now, but one day they will be revealed in all their splendor, and everything else we ever considered as treasures will pass from our minds. All of that is promised in the abiding Word of God. One point of emphasis for our lives made by Peter is that we are shaped by God's love to love one another. our fervent love for brothers and sisters in Christ is evidence of how God's love has purified our own souls. Don't miss the integral connection between God's truth and God's love. They are not opposed to each other, but perfectly woven together. God is at work in us with the same power intrinsic to his character. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in our lives here and now. The seed of his abiding word, specifically the good news regarding the death and resurrection of Jesus, brings us to the new life of faith in Christ. And the seed of God's abiding word continues to grow us into increasing faithfulness until that day when Jesus comes back to gather us home. That day when we will be perfected in his eternal kingdom. That was precisely what the Apostle Paul was getting at in praying for the Christians in Ephesus. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. You may remember Phil Ashe, who, along with Bill Midget, helped lead our parish revitalization workshop a few years ago. This past week, in the regular American Anglican Council newsletter, Phil addressed this same topic of our hope in Christ, and talking about it as an anchor for the soul, which gives a life that will never end. He wrote, "Our hope in Christ is categorically different and beyond our hope in hand-washing, social distancing, economic recovery, and the discovery of a vaccine. Our hope is a unique gift we have to a culture that desperately needs hope." How true that is. As Christians, we have confident hope, because our hope is in God. Something known by God's people through the ages, as expressed by the repeated refrain in Psalms 42 and 43. In the midst of difficult and dark times, the psalmist sought to encourage and redirect himself, writing, "Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." To focus our hope on our personal desires will lead to despair. But to focus our hope in God will lead to the transformation of our countenance. That's because in Christ, we have been given confident hope. Yes, hope for living our lives here and now, but not just for this life alone. We have been given hope for eternity. We know that we shall be raised to new life. New life in how we live now, and new life we will enjoy in eternity. Jesus, who has been raised from the dead, will come again one day to bring all the redeemed to the new heaven and new earth, the place of our eternal home with him. That is our confident hope in Christ, which we have to share with the world. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have acted through your Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us to yourself and that redemption is for life, true life, here and now, and eternal life with you and your eternal kingdom. Father, help us to hold fast, to stand confident in that hope, knowing that it is based in who you are and what you have done for us. And Father, let our lives be lived in such a way that we let that hope shine through us into the darkness of the world around us. Let the hope we have in Christ be shared with those still searching for a real hope. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.